Alright, Shavuot, say good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Yud Ches 118, and we are picking up on 117b. We are picking up at the Tanu Rabbanon, which is right across from Tosis Shehi. Shehi Chachma Ve'inu Malacha, literally right there. So it's in the intermediate. It's probably about 20 lines up from the bottom, 15 lines up from the bottom. So what's this? I want to thank Howard and Aileen Friedman for dedicating the shir this morning in memory of Howard's sister, Fega Pesel, Bas Shalom, Zichron Levrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And we'll say with that, let us begin. So we are picking up, as I mentioned on Tanu Rabbanan, beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. So we're supposed to remember again, we're still in the sugya concerning what are you permitted to save? Food, when it comes to food, what are you permitted to go ahead and save on Shabbos? So Tanu Rabbanan, Hitzil Pas Nekiyah, Eimatzil Pas Hadra. If you went ahead and you saved, literally Pas Nekiyah means bread from fine flour. So high quality bread. So once you've saved high quality bread, you can save inferior bread. Then I will say, now the idea over here is as follows. Based on the, you remember the case of yesterday that we had Osovi Es Mino? Right, that case of Osovi Es Mino, where halacha lemaisa, the two animals fall into the pit. So remember again, I could bring one of them up to shecht, but I can't shecht both of them. So remember, we had this opinion that said you could use a little bit of like a halachic loophole. Bring up the first one with the intention to shecht it, and then say, nah, I don't want to shecht that one. I want to shecht the second. Bring up the second one. And you've effectively taken them both out of the pit. So we'll see, using that same logic, we've established that a person is permitted to save three seudos worth of food on Shabbos. So we'll say, according to that opinion by Osovi Espino, what you could also do is save three meals worth of food and then say, you know what, I don't want that. No, this truth is, this is not the right menu for me. Let me go back and save something else. So according to that opinion, if you went ahead and you saved high quality bread, you can't say that you changed your mind and you want inferior quality bread, right? That doesn't work. Why doesn't that work? Because that's not normal. People don't do that. No one will go ahead and substitute high quality bread for inferior quality bread. On the flip side, Pas Hadra, Matzil Pas Nekiyah. On the flip side, if you went ahead and you saved inferior quality bread, and halacha lemaaseh then changed your mind and you wanted superior quality bread, you could go back and save more. Umatzilim Yom Kippur l'Shabbos. And furthermore, again, if we will say, let's say Yom Kippur is on Friday, Shabbos is on Shabbos, so the fire breaks out on Yom Kippur, you could go ahead and save food on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Aval lo mishabbos Yom Kippurim. But you can't save food if a fire breaks out on Shabbos. So let's say Yom Kippur is Monday, Shabbos, Sunday. Fire breaks out on Shabbos, you can't save food for Yom Kippur. Why can't you save food for Yom Kippur? So very simply, because in Monday Yom Kippur, you could just go ahead and make new food. Good. And it goes without saying you can't save from Shabbos to Yom Tov. In other words, if fire breaks out on Shabbos, Yom Tov is on Matzah Shabbos Sunday, you can't save food for Shabbos on Shabbos for Yom Tov, for the simple reason that on Yom Tov you're permitted to cook. And certainly you can't save food from one Shabbos for next Shabbos. In other words, if fire breaks out on Shabbos, right? This Shabbos, person can't save food for the intention of using it next Shabbos. Good. Tanu Rabbanan. We'll see along these same lines. Shachach pas betaner v'kiddush l'ayom. What's the interesting case? Let's say you went ahead and you were baking bread. You're baking bread and you forgot the bread in the oven. Now, as we're going to see, the act of removal, the Gemara is assuming now that the act of removing bread from the oven is a malacha on Shabbos. Now, remember again, the way they used to make bread is not like you're thinking about that by putting a loaf in the oven. They would kind of make it like the way, you can see this in Eretz Yisrael still, the way they make like the pitot, where you take a piece of dough and you attach it to the side of the oven. So the act of removing that dough or that bread is roded. That's what it's called. So the Gemara is assuming that's a malacha right now. So let's say a person went ahead and was baking bread on Erev Shabbos, and they forgot the bread in the oven on Shabbos. So as I say, interestingly enough, the way the Gemara views that is like the bread is in a burning house. Right, the oven is burning out. Right, the bread is in the burning house. So what can you do with the bread? So what could I do? I could save 3 meals worth of bread from the oven. And I could also tell my friends, hey guys, there's bread in the oven. It's going to burn. Come and save for yourself 3 seudos as well. But when you remove the bread from the oven, lo yirade b'mardeya, you shouldn't use the mardeya. So we'll say or the merade, right? The merade, we'll say, is like a, I don't know what you call it on a technical level. It's like the thing that they use like for pizzas. It's the best way I could imagine this. Whatever, like the flat board at the end. I'm sure that a shovel, but maybe a baker shovel, right? So you go ahead and you don't use that item. Elabasakin. Rather, go ahead and detach the bread from the walls of the oven with a knife. So Rav Zavos says, the Gemara says, 1 second, Ini, but I'll turn to the Rabbi Shmuel. Lo sasa kam alocha. When Torah says, you can't do melocha on Shabbos, yotzat ki ha-shofar, uridiyas ha-pashi chachma. This excludes blowing the shofar and removing bread from the oven, which is a chachma, which is a form of wisdom, ve'ina malacha, and is not the malacha. So what I say, the Gemara says, I don't understand, lemaisa, removing bread from the oven is not a malacha. If removing bread from the oven is not a malacha, but it's what's called the chachma. So we'll say, see, the Gemara is being mechalik between items that are, quote unquote, a form of wisdom versus a malacha. So for example, blowing the shofar is not a malacha. It's a form of wisdom. Removing the bread from the side of the oven is not a chachma. It's a form of wisdom. So why is it asur on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, kama defshar l'shnei mishnayim. Because we'll say in general, we don't like using the oven on Shabbos. So therefore, whatever way you can go ahead and conduct it in a shinui. So that's the idea. Technically speaking, if you remove the bread with the baker shovel, you know, are you chayiv for anything? No. But to whatever degree you could make a shinui, you're best off doing that. Amar Rav Chista, li'olam yashkim adam lehotzas Shabbos. So let's listen to this. Rav Chista says, this is incredible. A person should wake up early on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, to go ahead and take care of his Shabbos needs. So the Gemara says, "Shinei Amar v'Hayu b'Yom Hashishi ve'Echinu Es Hashem Yaviu," because the pasuk says by the mon, and it would be on Friday that they would prepare whatever they brought in. And the Gemara understands la'alter. They did this immediately. So in the desert, they would bring in the mon early in the morning and prepare whatever they needed for Shabbos early in the morning. So we'll say, so this here, the Gemara is talking about the need to go ahead and prepare for Shabbos early. And I will say, this is an incredible yisod. You know, I've mentioned this before. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that one of the things that he missed most from his youth, he said, in America, he said, there are plenty of Shomri Shabbos, plenty of people who are Shabbos observant. He says what he doesn't see, and again, this is obviously a number of years ago, Rav was writing this, or years ago, he doesn't see that there are Shomri Erev Shabbos. He said he remembered in his youth that when Erev Shabbos came, there was a different aura that came about, and preparations began already Thursday night, Friday morning. Well, it's an incredible yisod. A lot of times, we kind of run into Shabbos in a manic pace, right? Cooking's happening, and this is happening. It's important to understand that's not the ideal, and that's not really the way that one should prepare for Shabbos. One is supposed to enter into Shabbos with a sense of tranquility, to whatever degree possible, right? With a sense of ease. If there's stuff flying around on Erev Shabbos, okay, it happens to all of us occasionally, but that shouldn't be the way that a person goes into Shabbos. Shabbos is supposed to be ushered in with a period of tranquility. So a person has to plan ahead, whether it's that they do things Thursday night, whether it's that they do things Friday morning, you know, but I'm not saying a person has to be ready by Chatzos for Shabbos. But Lemaisa, a couple of hours before, I mean, I guess it's nice. If there's anyone who does that, please let me know. I'd love to see how that feels. But Lemaisa, to be prepared a couple of hours before Shabbos so that a person goes into Shabbos with nachas ruach, not schwitzing and angry and braggis and fighting with this one and yelling at that one. That's the idea. They prepared for Shabbos early. So the Gemara goes weiter. On Shabbos, a person is obligated to go ahead and use Lechem Mishnah to make a bracha on 2 loaves. Where does this come from? Dichsiv Lechem Mishnah. So I'll say this one doesn't leave anything to the imagination. The Torah calls the man on Friday, they had Lechem Mishnah. They had 2 portions of man, right? 1 for Friday, 1 for Shabbos. So therefore, I will say to go ahead and recreate the imagery of man we go ahead and we use two loaves at our Seudos on Shabbos as well. Amar Rav Ashi, Chazina le'ilu Rav Kahana denoke tarti, ubatz echados. Rav Ashi said, I saw Rav Kahana, he would take two loaves, in other words, for the bracha, he would hold two loaves, but yet he would only cut one of the loaves. He would eat one of the loaves. Amar, for why is that? He says, Amar, liktu ksiv, because we'll say the Pasuk says that they would collect Lecha Mishnah. So you see from here that the din of Lecha Mishnah is to have two loaves on the table, and we'll say at the time of the bracha, to hold the two loaves, but Lameisa, you don't have to cut two, you only have to cut one. Rabbi Zera hava batza akule shirusei. Let's listen to this. Rabbi Zera, when he would cut the challah on Shabbos, he would cut himself a large piece, one large piece, and that would be like his chunk of challah that he would use over the course of the Seudah. So in other words, as opposed to, let's say, cutting small pieces, he would cut a large chunk and he would keep that by his plate. Ivy Gibara says, Amar Rabbi Rav Ashi, v'amechsek revenus. So doesn't that look a bit ravenous? To cut off like a big chunk of challah and put it by your plate. Amrlei, kevan dechol yom alo avid va'idnuhu dekavel amechsek revenus. No, since he didn't do this during the week, but he just did it on Shabbos, it doesn't look ravenous. So Rashi explains, what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this process? So the meaning of this process ultimately is that he showed that he was getting ready to eat a good meal. Remember, again, I will say, bread was an accompaniment to everything that they ate. So giving yourself a big piece of bread indicated that you were getting ready to eat a big meal. So this wasn't ravenous, this was Lakavit Shabbos. Ravami Rabbi Asi Kimiklulhu Rifta de Eruva Shari Iluye. So we'll say Rabbi Asi, when they would have the bread of the Eruv deposited with them. So this is an Eruv Chatzira, so we'll say. Right? When you have multiple homes that open up into a shared courtyard, in order for everyone to be able to go ahead and carry into the courtyard. So what they do is they collect food from everyone, deposit the food in one person's home. That one home becomes the domicile of the entire courtyard. And halacha lemaisa, everybody can carry in and out. Once Shabbos starts, you're permitted to eat the Eruv. So Rabbi Amin, whenever the Eruv would be deposited by them, they would eat it. Amri, hoil this avid bechad mitzvah, this avid ba mitzvah achrina. And they said, since one mitzvah has already been done with this loaf, let's perform another mitzvah with this loaf. And I will say, so here you see, this is the Gemara of Lecha Mishnah. This is why on Shabbos, we go ahead and we have two loaves at every meal. Right, so it's by every meal of Shabbos to recreate the symbolism of the man. Also, just to take this a step further, this is why also, interestingly enough, the din of Lecha Mishnah also tells us that you are supposed to have something underneath the challah and a cover on top of the challah. So in other words, it doesn't have to be a challah board, but again, it could be a plate, but there's supposed to be a layer under the challahs and a layer on top of the challahs. So we often think that the layer on top of the challahs is only there because of the whole wine challah dynamic, right? Because technically speaking, hamotzi goes before agafa, and yet you're making kiddush. That is one reason. But also it recreates the man symbolism. Because remember, again, the man was covered by dew, had a layer of dew under it, so it wouldn't sit on the ground, and a layer of dew on top of it. So we create that symbolism with the Lecha Mishnah as well, with a something underneath the challahs, something on top of the challahs. So the whole man symbolism really captured in the entire Lecha Mishnah experience. Good. Kates, the Gemara says, Kates enough for the Lecha. So turn around, Bonan. So we'll say, so remember again, the Mishnah spoke about that if a fire breaks out on Shabbos, Salocha Lamaisa, you're permitted to save Mazon Gimel Seudos. You could save the amount of food for three Seudos on Shabbos. It says, Gemara, turn around, Bonan, Kama Seudos Chayv Adam Lechol B'Shabbos. How many Seudos are you obligated to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh. Three Seudos. Rabbi Chitka Amar Arba. Rabbi Chitka says, four Seudos. Machlokes, Tanakama, right, Rabbanon, three Seudos, Rabbi Chitka, four Seudos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnei Mikra Echad Darshu. Interestingly enough, they both dash in the same Pasuk. Vayomer Moshe, Ichluhu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem, Hayom Lo Simsaehu Basoda. So we'll say, so listen to this. Rabbi Chitka Savar, Hani Tlas Hayom Labar Mi'arta. Rabbanon Savri, Bahadi De'arta. So let's listen to this. The Pasuk says Hayom three times. So the Rabbanan Darshan, that Hayom three times, teaches me three Seudos on Shabbos. Rabbi Chitka says that Hayom refers to the 3-day meals, but doesn't take into account the nighttime meal. So the Rabbi Chitka says the first suda of Shabbos is Friday night, Shabbos night, and then three more meals during the day. So they both, it says, Machlokas v'had a darshan the pasuk. So the Gemara says, Tzinan, nafod leke b'Shabbos, tabav kof yuches, matzilin mazon gimel sudos. Yet it was just, let's analyze, right? What did the Mishnah say? If a fire breaks out in your home on Shabbos, chas v'shalom, you could save enough food for three meals. My love de lo achol. So we'll say so again. What is the Mishnah saying? It sounds like the Mishnah is talking about a case where a person didn't eat any of their meals on Shabbos, so you're allowed to save three meals worth of food. Well, that pretty clearly indicates that what? That on Shabbos, you have to eat three meals, to which the Gemara's lo de achol. No. That's a case where you already ate the Friday night meal. You already ate the Friday night meal, then the fire breaks out. You're allowed to save mazon gimel sudos, three more meals. Shachris matzilin mazon shtei sudos. My lab bloch. So the Mishnah said, if the fire breaks out in the morning, you could save enough food for two meals, which would seem to indicate that there are only two meals during the day, one meal a night of a total of three. Lo d'acham. No. So much you already ate the first of the daytime meals. B'mincha matzilin mazon sudachos. Then the Mishnah said, if the fire breaks out by mincha, you could only save enough food for one day, for one meal. My love de lo achol. Is that not saying you didn't eat and there's only one more meal in the afternoon? The Gemara's lo de achol. The Gemara's trying to explain about, say, the Mishnah in accordance with Rabbi Chitka as well. I, Bahamid Diktani, save Rabbi Yossi, Omer, the Ola Matzilim Gimel Sudos. Mechlal Tanakama Gimel Sirole. But one second. The end of the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yossi says, you could always save three Sudos. You can always save three sudos, that even if halacha lemaisa, again, no matter when the fire breaks out, you could always save three sudos. And from Rabbi Yossi's statement, it would seem to be that the Tanakhama also holds that on Shabbos you eat three sudos. Ela mechabarta masnisin delo k'Rabbi Chitka. Rather, says the Gemara, it would appear that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Chitka. And Rabbi say, indeed, halacha lemaisa, we don't accept Rabbi Chitka, we accept the Rabbanan, that there is an obligation for three su'udos, three meals on Shabbos. I v'hadis nan mi shiyesh l'mazon shtei su'udos, lo yitol min ha-tamchui. Supposed to listen to this, an interesting halacha. Supposed to say, so in the Talmudic communal system, they had obviously, you know, a chesed apparatus, a tzedakah apparatus. So they had something called the tamchui. Supposed to say, so the tamchui was a soup kitchen. So if a person goes and mishi yesh lo mazon shtei sudos, if someone has at least two meals worth of food, ultimately again he should not take from the tamchoi. Rashi says ka'ara gidola he v'govin ba gabayim machal mevali batim o mechalkin laniyim beisudos liyom yom. So we'll say, so literally this was a soup kitchen. So the tamchoi worked was the gabay tzedakah would go house to house, mamish collecting food. This wasn't money. Went collecting food, and that way there was a soup kitchen. Any ani who needed food could show up to the soup kitchen. Now the halacha was you were only eligible for the tamchui if you did not possess two meals worth of food in your house. Right? So you had to be that poor that literally didn't have to. So therefore the Gemara says, Mishi yesh hamazon shtei sudos, if you have more than two meals worth of food in your home, you can't collect from the tamchui. But don't get nervous. In other words, there are other forms of tzedakah that are available to that person, just not the tamchui. Mazon arba asrei, let's say you have in your home 14 meals worth of food, lo yitol min hakupa, then you can't take from the kupa. So we'll say the kupa was a tzedakah fund, that was money. So interestingly enough, if you have two meals worth of food in your home, you're not eligible for the soup kitchen, but you are eligible for the kupa, for the tzedakah fund, for money, for funds. If you have 14 meals worth of food, you're not eligible for the tzedakah fund. Now, I will say, now what's 14 meals worth of food? So the assumption we're making is, that is what? That's a week's worth of meals. That's a week worth of meals. What's the problem with that calculation? Money. Whose opinion does that reflect? Lo rabban of Rabbi Chitka. I will say, that doesn't work with Rabbanan or Rabbi Chitka. Why not? I rabbanan chamsere havyon. According to the Rabbanan, so I will say, 14 meals assumes what? Two meals a day. But according to the Rabbanon, over the course of Shabbos, you're having three meals. In which case, the minimum amount of meals you need for a week is 15. According to Rabbi Chitka, shis sorry havyon, it's 16 meals. So whose opinion is reflected here? To which the Gemara said, the Olam Rabbanon. In the reality, it's the Rabbanon. Darmin olei, my debois lemechal bafuke shabsa, achle b'shabsa. According to the Rabbanon, what we say is like this. We'll call the guy Reuven. Reuven, you know, normally you would have two meals a day, and one of those meals you would go ahead and have in the evening. So the meal you are going to eat Saturday night, at night, Matzei Shabbos, push it back and make it Shalosh Shabbos. So therefore, I will say again, it could be the same number of meals, just change the timing. So normally you would eat at night, move back your dinner from Matzei Shabbos, your Malava Malka, make your Malava Malka your Shalosh Shabbos. The Gemara says, so apparently then a reflective view of the Rabbana after Rabbi Chitka. I feel John Rabbi Chitka, no, it could even be Rabbi Chitka. Why Damrina? Lay my debois lamechal b'mali shabsa. Achle la'orta. So what's according to Rabbi Chitka, what we might tell the individual is like this. That which you were going to eat on Erev Shabbos, push into Shabbos. In other words, skip a daytime meal, push it into Shabbos night. That way you'll have extra food for Shabbos. To which the emerts of a kula yom of the shabbos of a tanisa musinolai. So what does that mean? That the guy should fast the entire Erev Shabbos in order to go ahead and what? In order to go ahead and have, according to Rabbi Chitka, four meals over Shabbos. So Rabbi said, listen to this. Elohim money, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi said, get ready for this. Rabbi Akiva, get ready for this. The Mishnah, Rabbi said, so again, remember, we're trying to figure out the Braisa that said before, or the Mishnah that said before, that if someone has 14 meals worth of food, they are not eligible for the tzedakah fund. Okay? Why 14 meals worth of food? That means you have a week's worth of food. We're trying to say, but you don't have a week's worth of food, right? According to the Rabbanon, you need 15 meals, because Lamaisa again, you need a third meal on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Chitka, you need 16 meals, because there are four meals on Shabbos. So we'll say, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Akiva Ta'amar, Asei Shabbos Chachol, Va'al titztarech libriyas. Because we'll say, isn't this incredible? Rabbi Akiva says, better to make your Shabbos into a weekday and don't rely on other people. We'll say, an incredible, incredible Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says, is it great to have Shalosh Shudis on Shabbos? Absolutely. If you could afford it. If you could afford it. So, and if you can't afford it, no, you'll just have two meals. What are you going to do? But better to go ahead and only have two meals on Shabbos and live on your own steam, right? And not have to rely on other people, and not have to take handouts, and not be dependent on someone else, then rather go ahead and be dependent on someone else in order to fulfill some type of spiritual dictum. So therefore, again, I will say, when the Mishnah says, if you have 14 meals for Shabbos for a week, you're good. You can't collect from the tzedakah fund. That's Rabbi Akiva. Shabbos say Rabbi Akiva is saying something really incredibly, absolutely amazing, which is that there is so much about this on a hashkafic level as well. About the most, Rabbi Akiva says, the most important thing in life is to be an independent person, to be a self-sufficient person, to be a person who could stand on their own. And even if at the end of the day, by standing on my own, it means that I do with less. And even if on a spiritual level, like Shalosh, I have to do with less, the most important thing in life is to be a Bala Chrayas who could stand on his own two feet. That is the key to life success. And I will say, by the way, the reason why this is so dramatic is because, you know, a lot of times people say stuff and say, okay, that's nice. This was Rabbi Akiva. Remember again, Rabbi Akiva married a girl from the wealthiest family in Yerushalayim. And his father-in-law did not think very highly of him and threatened his daughter Rachel, if you marry that bum, I cut you off. Because, right, Rabbi Akiva was an ignorant shepherd. She still married him and he got cut off. He got cut off. Rabbi Akiva lived in abject poverty. His wife was a cleaning lady. You know, this was the daughter of Kalba Savua, the girl who was brought up in the lap of luxury. He had nothing. He had nothing. And yet never did he go ahead and rely on others in order to become the man that he became. Rabbi Akiva says, the best thing in life is to be independent, to be run on your own steam, and to make things happen for yourself. And even if that means, I'm not going to have four courses on Shabbos, or I'm not going to have this, or Shabbos is, I'll say, the yesod in life is, if you want to be successful in life, and this is true with Ruach Nias as well, you got to make it happen on your own. Don't rely on other people to support your life initiatives or to support your endeavors. If you want something to happen in life, do it on your own steam. V'hadis nan in pochus in la'aniya over makum la'makum mikikar bepundion. Midalit sin besela. So we'll say, yeah, we learned elsewhere in the Mishnah. The Mishnah also says that if an ani, if a pauper is walking through the town, so what's the halacha? You give him at least a kikar of bread. So that this was a measurement, right? Kikar bepundion, when one sa'a of flour could be bought for a sela, or 4 sin of flour could be bought for a sela. Nostin lo parnasas, if he stays over in the town. But nostin lo parnasas lina. We give him what he needs in order to sleep. We'll see what that means in just a moment. Bim Shabbos, nostin lo mazen gimel sudos. And if a poor person comes into town for Shabbos, we give him enough for 3 meals. Leimor Rabbani v'lo Rabbi Chidka. So we'll say this would seem to support the Rabbani and not Rabbi Chidka. To which the Gemara says, the older Rabbi Chidka. No, it could be Rabbi Chidka as well. So aye, but it only says 3 meals. Kigon di'ika suda b'hadei. Darmin olay, ha di'ika b'adach achli. So we'll say, what's the case? The case could be where the Ani came into town and he has 1 meal. He has 1 meal with him. So he's saying, listen, eat your own food and we'll give you 3 more meals. So that way you have a total of 4 meals for Shabbos. Aye, the Gemara says, v'chi azel b'reikon azel. But that means that when the Ani leaves town, he's not going to have any food with him. Ultimately, again, what do? We no, on Sunday, we'll give him some extra food. Or I must say Shabbos, give him some extra food. To which the Gemara says, my parnasas lina. What does it mean that if an Ani comes to town, we give him what is needed for sleep? Amra papa purya uve sadino. We give him a bed and we give him a pillow. Okay, beautiful. So it just happens to be very beautiful. Also, the way you see in Talmudic times, the communal structure they had for taking care of the poor, which is really quite beneficial. We live in a community, thank God, that has incredible resources as well for this. But it's incredible how they have like these specific allotments, right? If you were in this category, you get this. If you were in this category, you get that. If you're coming to town to sleep, you get this. If you're coming to town for Shabbos, you get this. Really, really quite incredible. I will say, but we know Halacha Lamayin says, I mentioned before, we pass like the Rabbanon, not like Rabbi Chidka, and therefore Halacha Lamayin says, Mazon, you have food for 3 seudos on Shabbos. Beautiful. Tan Rabbanon. We'll say, here we go. Karos she'achal bahan arvis madichan le'achal ban Shabbos. Interesting Halacha. We'll say, if you used dishes that you used for your suda on Friday night, you can wash them in order to use them the next day. If you ate in the morning, you could wash your dishes on Shabbos to use it for the afternoon. After you finish lunch, you could wash your dishes to use it for Shalosh Shudas. However, min mincha ve'eloch shuv eino madiach. We'll say from mincha time and on, you can't wash dishes anymore. Meaning what? That halacha l'maisa, once you finish shalosh shudis, you can't wash dishes. Because at that point in time, what you're doing is going to be construed as preparing for during the week. So we'll say what the very important Gemara. What the Gemara is saying over here is halacha l'maisa, over the course of Shabbos, you could wash dishes. We're obviously talking about with cold water and things like that, but you could wash dishes as long as you're going to use it. But once it becomes clear that your meals for Shabbos are over, which is really after Shalosh Shudis, at that point in time, you can't wash any more dishes until Matzeh Shabbos, because to do so would be an act of hachana, preparing for during the week. However, aval kosos, vikitonios, utzluchios, but glasses, pitchers, jugs, madiach, vaholech, kol yom kulo, lefi she'in kaivat l'shtia. I will say glasses, pitchers, jugs, that you could go ahead and clean the whole day. Why? Because it's always time to drink. And as well say, because that came out wrong, but you understand what I mean. Meaning the idea is that drinking, ultimately a person does throughout the day. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, pitchers, jugs, cups, those could be cleaned the whole day. I'm Rishubin, Ben Pazi, I'm Rishubin, Leib, Mishumar Kafra. But say, now we're going to see, for the rest of the daf, and I'm Abiz as well, we're going to need some beautiful, beautiful Gemaras just about the power of Shabbos. Really incredible. So Rav Shimon ben Paz, Yom Rav Shimon ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kafra. Kol Mekayim Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos, Nitzal Mishalosh Paronios. I will say, whoever goes ahead and fulfills the obligation of having 3 meals on Shabbos is saved from 3 different forms of destruction. Shalosh Paronios. Mechevlo Shal Mashiach. Ultimately, again, from, literally again, the pangs of Mashiach. Dina Shal Gehenom. From Gehenna, I will say, can you imagine this? By eating shalant, you're saved from Gehenna. Right? I'm saying, whoever says Judaism is difficult, Mamish did not see this Gemara. So three meals, and ultimately I'm saved from Gehenna. Milchemes Gog u'Magog. And I will say, of course, from the trials and travails of the war of Gog u'Magog, which is the massive showdown between good and evil, which precedes the Messianic era. So the Gemara says, Mechavel Shal Mashiach, Ksiv hacha, yom ksiv hasam, hine anochi shoach lachem es Eliyahu hanavi, lifnei bo yom. So we'll say that's the reference to Mashiach. Medina shogeren ksiv hacha, yom ksiv hasam, yov evra. Yom evra hayom. Hayom ahu. Melchemes gog. Mogo ksiv hacha, yom ksiv hasam, biyom ba gog. So we'll say, the idea being, the gzir shava between the yom that's mentioned by Shabbos. Remember again, that yom we saw on Kuf Yud Zayin with days. That's where we learn out the concept of Shalosh Shudas. It says, again, yom three times, which teaches us that there are three meals over the course of Shabbos. And you see yom mentioned in each of these contexts. They're leading Rav Shimon Levi to say that if a person fulfills the three seudos on Shabbos, he's saved from these three incredibly different things. The pangs of Mashiach, judgment of Gehenom, and the war of Gog Umagog. Really incredible. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shor Yosi, Kol Ha'ani Ges HaShabbos Nosnu L'Nachala B'li Mitzarim. Whoever, I will say, properly enjoys the Shabbos is given a portion without boundaries. So I'll say, this of course is a reference to the world to come. The idea being that a person who really partakes and enjoys of the three seudos of Shabbos is given incredible reward in the world to come. Literally, not just a portion, but a portion without boundaries. Shnei Amar, as tisani gal Hashem, v'yekavticha b'masei aretz, v'achalticha amud beis, nachalas Yaakov avicha. So we'll say, interestingly enough, it says, I will give you a portion like Yaakov, your father. Lo ki Avram, shekasebo kumis aleich ba'aretz la'arko. Lo ki Yitzchak, shekasev ki lecha ulo zaracha etines kol ha'aretz osake ha'el. Ela ki Yaakov, shekasebo uparatzta yama v'keima v'tzafona v'negba. So we'll say, again, the drasha over here is that the pause says, as tis'aneg al Hashem. If you have oneg with Hashem, I will give you a portion like Yaakov. So we'll say, we're going to see the drush is going to be that ultimately, again, that Oneg is going to be a reference to the midst of Oneg Shabbos, of enjoyment of Shabbos. One of the ways in which we have Oneg Shabbos, enjoyment of Shabbos, is through the three Seudos. So he who goes ahead and enjoys the three Seudos of Shabbos ultimately has what? Gets a portion like Yaakov. What does it mean, a portion like Yaakov? That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Yaakov Avinu's portion, so it describes it as a nachala b'li mitzarim, a boundary right as far as the eye can see, north, south, east, west. So to a person as Shalosh Shudas ultimately goes ahead and will enjoy a portion of the world to come without boundaries. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar, Nitzel Meshibet Golius. Person who has three seudos on Shabbos will be saved from the oppression of exile. Ksiv hacha, v'yekavticha abama se'aretz, uksiv hasam, ata abamo semo tijroch. I'm Rav Yudom Rav, kol ma'ane ges ha'shabbos. Let's listen to these gemaras. Whoever properly enjoys the Shabbos, nosnin lo mish'alos libo. This is incredible. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives you anything you want. He's given all of the requests of his heart. Shnei Amar, v'his'ane gal Hashem, and literally again, engage in oneg with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yitim lecha mish'alos libecha. And Hashem will give you the desires of your heart. So the Gemara says, oneg ze eini yoda mahu. I don't know what this oneg represents. What does it mean when it says, v'his aneg al Hashem? You should have oneg with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that oneg represent? Mahu, kishu omer v'karasa l'shabbos oneg. Yet when the pasuk says, you shall call the Shabbos an enjoyment, Havi Omer ze oneg Shabbos. Rabbi said this refers to the enjoyment of Shabbos. B'mema ango. So how exactly do you have oneg Shabbos? Rabbi said, what's oneg Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Meshved Rav Amar b'Tav Shel Shad Shadin v'Dagim Gidolim v'Rashi Shuman. What's oneg Shabbos? Rabbi said, with if you have a dish of cooked beets, large fish, and heads of garlic. So as I said, obviously again, that to them, right? That those were Talmudic delicacies. Reb Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, afilu davar muat. The truth is, even something small that you have as part of your suda, but you clearly have it there. Ula kavet Shabbos, but you have it there. Ula kavet Shabbos. So the Gemara says, aso hare ze oneg. Even a small thing that you just have on your table, and you just have it ula kavet Shabbos, that's oneg as well. For example, mahi amra papa kasa daharnasa. Let's say fish hash, right? So this was a dish made of fish or fish kishkas, a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour, which again was not an extravagant item by any stretch of the imagination. But lamaisa, if a person did this, Rashi says dagim kitanim mitugonim b'shemen karvein ubekemach, small fish that were fried in oil together with flour. So that's kasa daharnusa. So we'll say that wasn't an extravagant or expensive food item. But lamaisa, if you do it for Shabbos, saloch lamaisa, that's only Shabbos. So we'll say just, we don't really have sufficient time to get into all of this, but I just want to point out how beautiful this is. That the idea, what does this mean? Person has three sudas on Shabbos. Person on Shabbos, Kishrov gives you anything you want. So of course, I will say again, obviously, the Gemara is trying to point out over here that when you go ahead and you engage in Onik Shabbos, what does Onik Shabbos mean? Onik Shabbos means I'm celebrating and experiencing the Shabbos, that I recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, and not just the historical creator, but the contemporary creator as well. And I will say, if I utilize the meal, let's say we know a Shabbos meal is me'in olam haba. It really is. And it's often not because of the food. I mean, the food, of course, plays a part in it, but it's because you have a meal and everything is shut off and you could just be in the moment and you could have a glass of wine and a good food, fancy food, not fancy food. And it's in those moments where you have the ability to say, the Ribon Shalom is the master of the world and the master of my life. And he runs everything. HaMechadish b'tuva b'chol yom tamid maseh bereishis. The Ribono Shel Olam orchestrates everything, and he loves me, and he cares about me, and he's there for me, and he's got my back. And the moment you re-ingrain all of these ideas, the world just becomes a different place. The world becomes a different place. And having that mindset is a nachalabli. All of these brachas come about when you recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the be-all, end-all of my existence. The Gemara goes right there. Amar Reb Chibra, Amar Reb Yochanan, Kol Mishamer Shabbos Kilchaso. We'll say, this is wild. Whoever keeps Shabbos Kilchaso in the right way, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kiddar Enosh Mochalamo. Even if you are, we'll say, not like a recreational idolater, but mamish a habitual offender, like the generation of Enosh, where they were all steeped in idolatry, You are granted forgiveness. You're granted forgiveness. The Gemara says, "Shnei Amar Ashrei Enosh Yasezos Mechalalo Al Tikri Mechalalo Ela Machol Lo." So don't read it ultimately again as Mechalalo, one who desecrates, rather Machol Lo. So we'll say, do you hear this incredible Gemara? If you keep Shabbos in the right way, Shabbos has the ability to grant you forgiveness for all of your transgressions. And even if Halach Lamais, a person worshipped idolatry, Avodah Zarah, one of the cardinal three Averus, or the three cardinal Averus, and ultimately, again, you're forgiven. We'll say, again, what's the pshat? I think it's a relatively straightforward idea. Shabbos represents the notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. Everything. He creates and recreates everything. Every breath I take is only because of him. When you keep Shabbos in the right way, and you re-ingrain that mindset in Ebbos, and that's why the Malacha. Why don't I do Malacha on Shabbos? If Shamshon Afar Hirsch explains, I don't do Malacha on Shabbos because I bend my creative knee to God. You see, during the week, whether I articulate or not, often I think I am in control. Shabbos is when I give back the reins of control to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you give back the reins of control to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you recognize that He is in control and I am not, that mindset is the essence of all Yiddishkeit. So if you're able to go ahead and reacquire that mindset on Shabbos, even if I worship Avodah Zarah during the week, I am forgiven. It's quite a commercial for Shabbos. I do say pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, Amrav Yehuda, Amrav, Yomale Shama Yisrael Shabbos Rishona, Lo Sholta Bahen Uma Veloshen. We'll say, had Klal Yisrael properly observed the first Shabbos in the desert, we would have been invincible. No nation would have been able to attack us. Shneemar vayhi bayom ashvi yatzu amina am lilkot uksibasrei vayavo amalek. But we know that unfortunately there were those who violated the first Shabbos in the desert. Right, the first Shabbos in the desert where Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Listen, the man is going to fall on erev Shabbos double portion. Don't go out to collect man on Shabbos. Don't go out to collect." And what happened? People went out on Shabbos. Unfortunately, they violated Shabbos. So the Gemara says, had they not violated that Shabbos, and that first Shabbos would have been kept in absolute sanctity, Klal Yisrael would have become invincible. Can you imagine that? Klal Yisrael would have become invincible. So the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Yochai Mishun, Rabbi Shimon Yochai." El Mole Mishami. So listen to this incredible Gemara. El Mole Mishami Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Kilchasan Miad Nigalin. If Klal Yisrael would keep two Shabbosos, Kilchasan in the right halacha, we would immediately be redeemed. Let's say we all want to know what it takes to keep to bring Mashiach. If Klal Yisrael would just keep two Shabbosos Kilchasan, now this is all of Klal Yisrael, keeping two Shabbosos Kilchasan, two Shabbos in the right way, we'll be redeemed immediately. Shneimar Kamar Hashem Lasari Simar Sheyeshmu Hashabsosai. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the ministers who keep his Shabbosos plural Uksibasrei Vahavi Osim Al Har Kodshi. So we'll say pretty incredible. All Klal Yisrael needs is to keep two Shabbosos. That's it. Which we'll say, another way of saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu telling us, all I need from you is to create a meaningful relationship. Remember, what is Shabbos supposed to say? What is Shabbos? Interestingly enough, the essence of Shabbos is not about what you do, but the dominant feature of Shabbos is what you don't do. The whole essence of Shabbos is bending my creative knee, yielding my creative prowess, giving back the reins of life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing the centrality of God in my life, that He is my partner, and He's the dominant partner in making things happen in this world. If we could just ingrain that mindset in ourselves for a prolonged period of time, just Shabbos to Shabbos, Shabbos to Shabbos, two Shabbosos, Geula would come. Geula would come. So the Gemara says as follows, Am Rabbi Yossi, Hei chelki mi ochli shalosh sudas b'Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, my portion in the world to come should be with those who eat three meals on Shabbos. So what's I said? Apparently eating three meals on Shabbos ultimately, again, is it guarantees one a portion in the world to come, like we mentioned before. And Biosi, so the Gemara says, just by the way, say, you should just know, although this sounds very simple, we know for many of us, usually, again, Shabbos night meal, not a challenge, right? Shabbos day meal, lunch, not a challenge. Shalosh Sudas is kind of where things begin to unravel for many, right? When it comes to Shabbos. But what you see from these Gemaras, especially on these long Shabbosos, how incredibly important it is to mamish, to really be makbid on especially Shalosh Sudas, right? That you see the power associated with the three meals of Shabbos. And again, whether you spend the time saying Divrei Torah, but whatever, singing Zmiras, but you see the power. Kadosh Baruch Hu just says, I just want you to engage in the three meals on Shabbos. And the reward is so overwhelming, and the benefit is so overwhelming. So the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yosi, yichelki mikomrei halal b'chol yom. May my portion be with those who finish halal every day, who recite halal every day." The Gemara says, "Really? Varmar v'ha'amar mar hakorei halal b'chol yom harezin mecharif u'megadif." Yet Mar said that if a person goes in and says halal every day, he's a blasphemer. Well, I say pretty strong. What does that mean? Rashi points out, if you say halal every day, essentially what you've done is you've relegated halal to like a song. To a song. It has no importance to you. Chazal instituted that halal be said at particular times, at particular dates. And if you sing it every day, you're just relegating it to just another nice little ditty. Right? It's just a nice song. And if you do that, ultimately, again, that's blaspheming. To which Mar says, no, ki karminon b'suki de zimra. No, what it means is the halalukas, right? The halalukas, ultimately, again, that are part of b'suki de zimra, that also happen to be part of halal. So it says, so those halukas, which are b'suki de zimra and part of halal, to be makbid to say those every day. Rashi says, shnei mizmorim shel hilulim, halalu es Hashem in Hashamayim, halu kel b'kadsho. So it says, so those halalukas, that's what we're calling halal. Not literal halal, but the halalukas in b'suki de zimra, that's ultimately, again, what a person should be makbid to say every day. Amar Rabbi Yossi, he says, it's actually very beautiful as well. Yichelki mimispalim im dimdume chama. May my portion be with those who daven with the rays of the sun. Now Rashi points out over here, who does this refer to? So we'll say it refers to those who daven at sunrise and those who daven at sunset. So ultimately, again, there is something to davening with sunrise vasikin that we've seen before, and something to davening mincha and ma'ariv with sunset. So there's a special power with davening with the sun each and every day. So the Gemara says, it is a mitzvah to daven with the sun every day, to daven vasikin in the morning, and ultimately again, mincha ma'ariv with sunset in the evening. Amr Bzira Maikra, What's the pasuk that supports this? Yira'ucha im shemesh v'lifnei yareach dar darim. Literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will see you with the sun. Yira'ucha im shemesh, I'll see you with the sun. So we're darshaning, I'll see you with the sun. I'll daven shachris with sunrise and mincha ma'ariv together with sunset. V'am Rabbi Yossi, yichelki mimeisei b'chol imi'ayir. This is very dramatic. Rabbi Yossi says, may my portion be with those who die of intestinal disease. Okay, so we'll say, so what's the pshat with that? One that we kind of like took a sharp turn over here from Shalosh Shudis. We'll say, so look at Rashi. So what Rabbi Yossi was saying was as follows. That may my portion be with those who die from painful illness. Why? Because we'll say when a person Chas Hashem dies from painful illness, the pain of that illness purges them of sin. That's Yisurin Ba'olam Azeh, suffering in this world. So Rabbi Yossi said, I would rather die a more painful death and know that my sins are purged in this world than have to deal with them in the afterlife. D'amar mar, Ruban shel tzadikim meisim mecholim ayir. This is actually very interesting, a fascinating statement. Mar said, the majority of tzadikim die because of some type of intestinal or stomach issues. Which again is a fascinating statement to understand where that came from. But this notion that it appears that sometimes tzaddikim often die from prolonged illnesses that come from great pain. And apparently, again, that pain is associated with a purging effect for their neshamas as well. But Rabbi Yossi, yichelki mimeisei b'derech mitzvah. May my portion be with those who die on the way to do a mitzvah. In other words, we'll say the idea being over here, that if a person dies while doing a mitzvah, that shows a certain level of elevated purity as well, that their last actions were mitzvah associated. So the Gemara Rabbi Yossi, Hechelki mimachnisei Shabbos b'Tveria, Omotzi Shabbos b'Tzipurim. This is beautiful. Rabbi Yossi says, may my portion be with those who bring in Shabbos in Tveria, and those who end Shabbos in Tzipurim. But say, what's the pshat? So Tveria, remember again, is in a valley, right? Tveria is surrounded by the mountains of Tzfas. So the idea is Tveria often it got darker earlier than the surrounding area. So Tveria, they would start Shabbos early. Tzipori was on the mountaintop. Because it was on the mountaintop, therefore it got dark much later. So in Tveria, they started Shabbos early, and in Tzipori, they ended Shabbos late. So Rabbi Yossi says, I want my portion to be, the ideal is start early, end late, right? Start Shabbos early, end Shabbos late. So Aram Yossi, Chelki Mimoshe Beis HaMedrash, V'lomi Ma'amidei Beis HaMedrash. Let my portion be with those who bring the students from to the Beis HaMedrash, and not from those who get them up from the Beis HaMedrash. We'll say, so apparently in the yeshivas, there were two different positions. There was the guy who was in charge of getting everybody into the Beis HaMedrash, and then the guy who was in charge of telling everybody lunchtime, right? The lunchtime guy, his job was to get everybody up and out to go eat lunch. Rabbi Yossi says it's so much better to be the guy who brings the Talmidim into the Beis Medrash and not the guy who tells them that it's time to leave. Very beautiful. But Rabbi Yossi, Hichelki Mikavei Tzedakah, Hovei Machlikei Tzedakah. This is incredible. Rabbi Yossi says, allow my portion to be with those who collect tzedakah. In other words, not Gabei Tzedakah, those who collect tzedakah for the community, but not those who have to disperse it to the aniyim. Why? What's the pshat? This is incredible. Rabbi Yossi is saying, to collect the money is easy. Well, it's not easy to collect money. But Lamaisa, what I mean is, to collect for tzedakah, you go around and you ask. It's much more difficult to know who really needs the money and who doesn't. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, sometimes you err in your assessment of people's needs. And sometimes, again, you think a person needs when they don't really need. Or sometimes you think a person doesn't need when they really need. So Rabbi Yossi says, I'd much rather be the person who collects from the community and not the person who has to dispense. On Rabbi Yossi, Yehi chelki mimei shechoshten osto, choshten osto ve'ein bo. We'll say this is incredible, but this will have to stop. We'll say the Rabbi Yossi says, may my portion be with those who are suspected of wrongdoing, even though they did nothing wrong. We'll say, what's the pshat? May my portion be with those who are suspected of wrongdoing, even though they did nothing wrong. What's the pshat? I think Rabbi Yossi saying is like this. He will say, sometimes you're accused of something and you know you didn't do it. You know you didn't do it. Or someone says something negative about you and you know that it's not true. The ability to not respond, right? Sometimes you have to respond, of course, to clear your name. You have to respond ultimately to right your reputation. But I will say, sometimes people say mean things or say, you know, inappropriate things. And although there's an incredible Yetzirah to respond and to bite back, the ability to have the self-control and self-restraint, to just let it go, because it's not worth it, is sometimes the highest form of human strength. So the Yossi says, allow me to kind of be the kind of person who has the personal strength that even when I'm attacked and someone says something about me, that I have the koach to hold my tongue, I have the koach to exercise restraint and not get down into the mud. So I have to stop over here. I feel like I kind of delivered. I promised you incredible Gemara. I feel like I mamish delivered today on incredible Gemara. Not because of me, because of the subject material. Coming attractions tomorrow, another incredible daf. We may actually have to start earlier, like at 4:30 tomorrow morning, as it's a long daf. But no, I do believe that tomorrow morning we are going to start at 5:45. We'll have to note, tomorrow's legal holiday. Tomorrow is July 4th weekend. Okay, so stay tuned on the WhatsApp chat for the schedule, Amir Tzashem. I was saying, Rabbi Yashka, a great schos. It really is. I look forward. The day is soon coming where Amir Tzashem will be able to learn in person again. Zoom will continue as well. But Amir Tzashem, these kinds of gemaras, it's beautiful to do it with you like this. But I have to tell you, I know that if we were together, I would hear your oohs and your ahs as we were going through these gemaras. So I miss that. Yet at the same time, Jeremy, we cannot unmute everyone because that'll be a disaster. But Lemaisa, I look forward to learning these gemaras together, hopefully very soon. We'll say Yeshikoyach. We'll begin the Zoom minion in the parking lot at 7 a.m. Shkoyach.